You're back with Jeremy and Joe, and I honestly have no idea what's happening next. Could it be the next great food debate? Jeremy being a giant buzzkill? Joe trying to do math? Carry the one, Joe. Carry the one. Or maybe they'll recklessly label people as casuals. Let's find out. It's time for the Wheel of Bits.
Oh my goodness, would you look at this? What an enormous spin.
Who's catching a stray now?
What?
That was the softest who's catching a stray I've ever heard. Who's catching a stray now? That was bizarre.
It's like she's just in a mood today.
Is that the first time we've ever heard her say that?
No, I think we've used that open before.
Does she change based on the day?
No, I haven't updated that one.
She's in a good mood or not. That was weird.
That was a weird one. Germany-Paraguay. 0-0 in the 34th minute.
Ich bitte für einen Klon und
uns dein Teil. That is not German. It is German.
That is not German.
It was intended as German.
Yeah, but that's not even close to German.
Yeah,
that's way closer to Chinese than it is German.
But the intent is what matters.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
How something sounds has nothing to do with intent.
Yes, because it has
everything to do with motive, but it has nothing to do with how something sounds. I can intend to have something sound smart, but it's not going to happen because it's me. I'm the one delivering the message.
It's German.
I don't know how anybody could listen to that and think that's German.
Ich bitte für einen Klon und einen Stein.
Other than the Stein?
That very last syllable, I can see what you're saying. The rest of it sounds German.
I think you've taken a clip that's 3 seconds long, and you've locked in on
the start of it.
Half a
second. You take the first 3 seconds, if you took every part of that clip except for the Stein's the only thing that sounds German.
Disagree.
I mean, there's an ek in there. That's right. Very... Here, I'll play it again.
Doesn't Lance always
do that?
That
part sounds
Asian. No, it doesn't.
It's
German. They just score. That's what the German
This is like a... What was the dress? The blue and the gold or whatever?
Yeah, blue and gold. What was the other option? Was it green?
I don't remember.
It was black and blue and...
And there was one with like a picture. Like, what do you see?
I think it was black and blue or gold and white.
And then the one that you hear. Remember the one that you hear?
Like, oh, two people, yeah.
That was a weird one.
I don't recall that one.
There
that
was,
tripped me out.
Yeah, I forget the words. But like, some people would hear one word and other people would hear another word. And the words were nowhere close to each other.
No,
it was weird.
Huh.
It might be this. This might be what it is. Because all I hear there is... I hear Asian.
Ich bitte für einen Klon und einen Stein.
I don't hear the... That you're talking about.
I disagree. But we're not going to solve it. What do you want me to break it down? I'm
do
not a legalist.
Play it one more time.
I don't hear the...
Ich bitte für einen Klon und einen Stein.
Right there in the beginning.
I don't hear any clear throat. But also, didn't Lance have throat issues for his whole adult life?
I don't know.
That's legit. He had to have surgery.
I'm not going to HIPAA. Let's not talk about too much.
He's talked about on air.
We've already talked about his skin tags being taken off today. I feel like everything's out the board with HIPAA with Lance at this point.
Somebody texted that in.
We read it.
That's fine.
Yeah.
I think.
I don't know. Is it?
Anyways, I think the broad said catching a stray. Who's catching a stray today?
Apparently the broad.
Who's catching a stray?
Oh, you're asking me?
Yeah, play it.
Oh.
Shangoon for sure. Like I said, I be on TikTok a lot. So if you really just like be on there, they be saying he played like he got a refrigerator in his back or something like that.
LeBaron Filon was asked, who is the first player whose ankles you're going to break in the NBA? And he said Shangoon's name twice. Then he said he plays with a refrigerator on his back. Albi Shangoon is catching a stray.
Okay,
by a rookie.
Is he supposed to be good?
He's a pretty good player.
Okay,
pretty good player. I don't know. I mean, who knows how that translates to the NBA? People thinking Marcus Thornton's about to win Sixth Man of the Year in Houston. Apparently,
they think about like the biggest of things when there's no chance of it.
Ty Washington was the first rounder.
He didn't
do anything. So LeBaron Filon catching Albi Shangoon. Got a little stray there. Albi said he plays with a refrigerator. To be fair to LeBaron Filon, he's not wrong.
No, he's not.
But he is kind of slow-footed.
The only part that he's wrong about is he won't have to break Albi's ankles. He could just run by him.
That's true.
Like, Albi's not going
to,
like...
In fact, if you're trying to cross him over and break his ankles, that's a low basketball IQ.
It is.
Because you're right. You can just blow right by him.
Yeah, just blow right by
him. The only time that you're going to see him, too, is off a screen. So, like, yeah, you can just blow by him. Or you can just pop a jump shot in his face because he's not going to defend you one-on-one.
Yeah, well, instead he's going to try to get Albi in a one-on-one now and try to break his ankles.
Yeah, I don't, that's a good point by Brian. I didn't think about that. You really don't have to try to break his ankles because you can just go around him. Why? Because he has a refrigerator on his back.
Which is a very funny thing to say.
I'm going to start using that.
Never heard that before.
I feel like I have heard it, but I can't remember where.
Yeah, that's the first one for me, too. I've heard that.
Yeah. Alpi Shingun. He's got a refrigerator on his back. Thank you, LeBaron Filon, for that. Fred's knee. You brought this up the other day. I guess the news broke, I think, last week while we're on the air.
Yeah.
Fred VanVleet, he tore his ACL last year. He also tore both of his menisci. Mm-hmm. And his knee. You got the lateral and the inner, I guess. He tore both menisci. Now, the Rockets knew this immediately, right? Like, the team is privy to the MRI.
Yeah, he said that it wasn't, like, out there that happened. Which I guess maybe we never would have needed to ever have a conversation about him coming back?
I don't really think it's going to influence his play. Like, people tear their meniscus quite a bit. Meniscus doesn't really slow you down once you recover from them. Now, you could say the double menisci tears on top of the Tommy John, on top of the ACL, on top of him being kind of an elder statesman. Okay. I do think it's fair to ask what productivity Fred VanVleet's going to be able to give you at his age. I don't think, like, this whole his knee is cooked thing is fair. Like, what Tank Dell had to go through is far greater than what Fred VanVleet had to go through. Tank Dell had three ligament tears. Fred had one in the menisci.
Yeah.
Like, Tank's knee surgery, if we're comparing knee surgeries and, like, hey, it's somebody else's surgery. Tank, what he had to go through his knee is far greater than Fred VanVleet and his knee. You see Fred VanVleet's injury. You see ACLs all the time. You see menisci tear all the time. You don't see both menisci and the ACL. Mm-hmm. I mean, I still think Fred's going to be able to give you, like, 90% of productivity.
I think if he is slowed down, I don't know if I'll point to the knee injury as, like, the reason. Just age.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, it's just, like, how much more, like, really productive years of basketball does Fred have with him at this point? And maybe the knee makes it that timeline even quicker of where it starts to fall off. But it doesn't – to me, it doesn't feel like it's going to be a debilitating thing. Like, he was trying to come back last year.
Well, he said though that was foolish of him, and that he was being
like overly optimistic.
He's saying at the end of the year we were close.
Oh, okay.
He said that early in the year, like right Rudolph to surgery, he's like, yeah, I'm going to get back and I'm going to do it. He said that later he realized how delusional that was.
That's what it was like. I think it was his first podcast episode he ever dropped, so like it was a good catchy headline.
Yeah,
to promote the podcast too,
probably.
But yeah, it's for Fred. Like, I don't have super high expectations, to be honest, for next year. It's a wait and see thing. Like, if
W A I T or W E I A G H D?
W A I T.
Okay. He's a little heavy.
I'm not going to call him fat.
I didn't call him fat. I just called him a little heavy. Although, it is one of your show topics.
Porky,
today.
Hog, all-time great fat ass, double wide, butterball.
That's because
I think it's fair that you would call him fat.
No, he wouldn't fit into that category.
For a basketball point guard, he's kind of chubby.
That's probably.
And you know how I know that. It takes one to know one.
Yeah, that's for a basketball player.
He's pretty thick.
Sure. I just don't think he would not have come to mind for that topic.
Okay. Right. He's got kind of a Kyle Lowry build. Not that there's anything wrong with that. You know, some people like their point guards thick.
I guess so.
There's more to love, Jeremy.
Some people like their point guards thick. And beauty's in the eye of the beholder.
And the Rockets love Fred.
They love, well, he likes being a Rocket at least because it was a player option. That he agreed to. Real quick, before the player option, Junkie says that was a Chinese person speaking German. Thank you. That's fair. I hear you on that. Yanni or Laurel was the word. Yanni or Laurel was the word thing.
Okay.
The bench has the worst acid reflux that I've ever heard. Oh, Paraguay scored a goal.
Yeah.
Dang. We're not reading that, 7433. You should be ashamed of yourself, actually. That's a terrible thing to say. 713-780-3776. All right, so Fred VanVleet is he's opting into his option, which is like $25 million. So that's official. Some people were like, oh, look, what he does have his no trade clause officially gone now, by the way. So people were thinking that, oh, look, Fred VanVleet's opting in. His no trade clause is gone. They're interested on Marcus Smart. They drafted a dude at 31. They picked up a G League player. They picked up his option, J.D. Davison, for $2.6 million. And people were acting like that means that a Fred VanVleet trade is imminent.
No.
I don't see it that way, guys.
Unless you're going to, like, work directly with him and say, where do you want to go? Like, where would you have gone in free agency anyways? We'll help you get there via trade. But why would a team, like, they might not want him at $25 million. They might have wanted him at $12 million if he was a free agent. But I think this means he's on the roster for sure.
Yeah, I think that they've had a pretty good agreement with each other throughout these, like working together, and they've like torn up contracts, they've opted in, they've done all these things together. Like, I feel like they're pretty much on the same page.
Yeah.
I don't think that this is a sign that he's going to be traded. He did scrub his internet or his Instagram of all like Rocket mentions, but apparently this is kind of like what he does. He did it in Toronto, and like he scrubbed his family from it too, which I find to be kind of weird. Like, why don't you just delete Instagram?
That's strange.
It's kind of weird behavior to me. Like, why don't you just delete IG? Like, just save yourself some trouble and not all that. Like, that's going to take a lot of time.
That's a lot of
like,
work.
Why not just delete Instagram? Just delete the app for a bit.
Yeah.
That's kind of weird to me. I was arguing with people today on the internet about like how much Fred VanVleet would be worth on the open market, which I don't really know how much he'd be worth on the open market. There are teams, though, in free agency that get desperate. And also, these free agent contracts are insane. They're very stupid at times. I don't know if it's a lock that Fred VanVleet wouldn't get $25 million or greater in free agency.
Yeah, I mean, like Julian Champagne just signed 3 years, $45 million for the Spurs.
Good player.
Like, that's $15 million a year.
He's not a point guard.
No, he's not.
Very much a role player. He's coming off their bench.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, I don't know if he's a 25-a-year guy in free agency. Mm. Like, I wonder if the Rockets are happy with this.
I think that they knew he was going to pick it up for 2 years.
Yeah, just we're hopefully disappointed. Like, we're like crossing their fingers. Kind of like what we've talked about with Imai in the
past. I
don't
know, man.
But if they were hoping he didn't pick it up, what was their other plan at point guard? Like, Marcus Smart. They clearly haven't had a plan.
People are thinking Thornton.
Yeah, I don't want. Yeah, I mean,
Thornton's
no.
not an answer.
People are thinking it's Thornton.
Neither are the answer.
I think Fred's there playing a point guard.
Yeah, it's same.
I think he's very clearly there playing a point guard. This also might be the whole. You remember Fred VanVleet's like cryptic Instagram the other day where he's like, I'm betting on myself?
Yeah.
I think this is an example of him betting on himself.
Yeah, because
I'm going to opt in. Yeah. I hope that I'm going to play very well. And then next year, I'm going to sign a $75 million three-year contract.
Yeah. 100%.
Which I don't think, I'm not predicting that's going to happen.
But that's what he's trying to
do. I don't think that's going to happen, in fact.
Yeah, because if he was a free agent, teams are probably going to want to lock him in for more than a year. And he's not going to get the long-term security, that final contract that he wants, where he's betting on himself here. And he'll hopefully get one in the offseason.
See, I think he could, I think in free agency, he could get something like $50 million 2 years.
He might
like
have been
a,
able
for
to.
A point guard desperate, veteran desperate team.
Yeah. It might have had to come with like team options, which maybe that's something he wouldn't want to do, but.
Well, yeah, I wouldn't want to do that either if I could lock in the 25.
Yeah, yeah. What we're saying about the trade, like, I don't think this means he's getting traded.
I don't either.
Yes, he has a no trade clause. It's gone.
I think
if he would have asked the Rockets, like, are you going to trade me? He would have rather taken a smaller deal in free agency and had his choice of team than being forced to go somewhere with the Rockets say is okay. And they seem to take care of him.
I think he's the Rockets point guard.
Yeah.
And I think it's very, very clear that he's the Rockets point guard. Watch, they're going to trade for Kyrie tomorrow. I had in the rundown, y'all want Jaw, but he just got traded to Portland. I saw the odds on this. Somebody tweeted out there. Actually, it was the email. Who's that dude that emails us? The Rockets had the second best odds to land Jaw Morant.
Really?
Yeah. So did they miss out there? Did they swing him in? Second or third, whatever it was.
I just don't think that's a fit, but.
Well, he got traded to Portland, so apparently it wasn't.
Chris Haynes is saying, just said that Damian Lillard and Ja are going to start together.
Where's Scoot going to play?
Coming off the bench?
That's weird.
Hey, Rockets.
I'd want a young guy to start.
Make the phone call.
He doesn't shoot well, though.
I don't care.
You like Scoot?
I like Scoot.
Who are they going to trade for him? Another point guard?
Jabari?
Yeah.
Alpi? No fridges?
What do you think of the Marcus Smart thing?
I hate it.
Really?
Yeah, I don't like
it. I love it.
It's like you're trying to like recreate Dylan Brooks.
No.
Who's not as good at defense. He can't shoot.
You're not recreating Dylan Brooks. He's a point guard. He's your Fred VanVleet backup.
I think the toughness.
No, I like that.
The identity of the team. I don't think
that's what I like. Did you watch the Rockets Lakers in the playoffs last year? Marcus Smart killed you.
That was like his good. It's like that was like all he had last year. He wasn't good. It's outside of
he
that
had their
one
best
series.
Plus minus on the year, the Lakers.
I don't care about plus
minus.
Yeah,
but we hate plus
minus.
What
have you ever referenced plus minus?
You hate plus minus.
What just happened?
I do hate plus minus.
I can't believe that those words just came out of
your
mouth.
Oh, I do think plus minus is greater on a bigger scale.
Yeah, I just.
Over 82 games, plus minus is way greater than a one game sample.
I don't like this move. Like, I don't think he's a good basketball player.
Oh, I completely disagree. He's like everything you want in a dog. He's like a backup point guard. He's going to defend you. He's going to run offense. He's going to make every hustle play. He's like a culture guy. I like it. Yeah,
can he score?
Why do you need him to score? You need him to facilitate an offense.
Because the rest of the offense can't score.
That's not true. You have Kevin Durant. You have Alpi Şengün.
I don't know.
You got Reed Sheppard. Like, you don't need him to be a scorer. You're not signing a backup point guard to be a scorer. You're signing a backup point guard to defend, to be your culture guy, and to facilitate an offense.
Yeah,
I don't know. Last year, the Rockets literally had zero point guards, and you're mad that they're going to bring in a point guard?
This one, yeah.
Man, I can't. I'm a little surprised by this.
I don't like this one. I don't like this move for the Rockets. I don't think it's good anymore.
I don't know. Did you watch the series last year against the Rockets?
I did.
How's he not? He led the Lakers in plus minus. He crushed the Rockets in the first round of the playoffs.
You know what this, like, that argument feels like? Feels like that's what Dana Brown said about Mike Burrows.
No, he never said plus minus.
No, but like, you smart ass. Like, Mike Burrows was really good against the Astros. That's the guy we should go get. That's what I feel like Rafael Stone
but
just
no,
did.
You can't. Like, I'm referencing two totally different things.
Like, he was good in the Lakers series when they beat us. So let's go get this guy to have the team.
Yeah, what, a five-game sample?
No, but the other thing that I referenced was an 82-game sample. The other thing I referenced had nothing to do with the Rockets. Those were two totally separate things.
Yeah, I don't like the move. I don't think it's going to be good.
This guy's been a dog his whole career. He shot 33% from three last year. That's not terrible.
It's not good.
It's solid. It's better than a men who was playing point guard minutes.
I think it also wants someone that could get their own shot a little bit. I don't think Marcus Smart.
Does everybody on your team need to get their own shot?
No, but right now, like,
you have four, other than
Durant, who's getting his own
Alpe?
Shot?
Alpe's a 20
point per
game. He
doesn't get good
scorer.
Shots on his own.
Reed Sheppard had a good scoring season in his sophomore
streaky.
Year.
Streaky.
Yeah, he's streaky. I'll give you that.
Dorian Finney-Miss
is going to go from Dorian Finney-Miss to Dorian Finney-Make.
They haven't traded that guy yet.
Don't miss.
They're about to trade him. I mean, I don't know if they can trade him. His contract's brutal. Now, it is non-guaranteed after this year. Yeah. This is the final guaranteed year of that contract.
I think they can only trade him if they're trading up, like as a salary throw-in.
Well, I think that's what they're going to try to do. I think they're going to try to dump. I mean, in a perfect world, they could dump that contract, even though this is the final guaranteed year. I think they're going to try to. I think Marcus Smart is incredibly solid. Good defender, facilitates an offense, gets everybody involved, makes the hustle plays, culture guy, plays great defense. I think he's a winner. He's a winner. I think you guys look at box scores and be like, oh, 33%, that's not very good. Watch him play a game.
Yeah, as soon as he got traded from Boston, they won a championship without him.
That's dumb luck.
Oh, I disagree.
And winner, I mean, he got to play the Rockets carcass in the first round, and they got swept in the second round.
I'm just saying, how could you watch that series and be like, yeah, Marcus Smart isn't a winning player? That's my point.
I thought that was more about the Rockets than Marcus Smart.
Really? So him diving on loose balls and winning 50-50 balls is because the Rockets weren't?
I mean, that'll be nice to have, but it's not like he's going to be out there in valuable moments even, which I guess is why it's an okay
signing. Well, I think it's insurance for Fred.
Yeah, which that's important. Like,
this guy's a defensive player of the year, man.
When was that?
2022.
That's a long time ago.
Yeah, he's still a good defender.
The only thing I do like about it is at least they have some kind of insurance before the season with Fred. Kind of like what you were talking about with the Astros. Like, there's a question on the roster. They've at least filled it. I don't really like the player they filled it with, but at least it's filled.
He's been to the conference finals three times. He's lost in the finals once. This guy's a win. Actually, one more conference final. He's been to the conference finals maybe four times.
How many of those are because of Marcus Smart?
Well, not because of Marcus Smart, but he's a really good role player. Like, you're not bringing him in to take over the team. You're not bringing him in to, like, hey, you're our savior. No, he's a backup point guard.
I think they need to bring in people and spend their money on people that can score. They need scoring.
I just don't know how you're going to find that in free agency.
I don't either. I'm not going to disagree with you there.
You're spending backup point guard money and you want Steve Nash.
Well, they have Steve Nash.
Stop it.
those aren't my words. Those are their words.
It's not their words. It's other people's words. The Rockets didn't compare him to Steve Nash.
It was reported they did. Internally.
If they really believe that, then I question the ability to scout from that franchise.
That's what the story said.
I do remember that comp. I didn't remember it coming from the front office.
Yeah, it said Rocket. Well, it said people internally with the Rockets comp him to Steve Nash.
That's a bad comp. It's an atrocious comp.
I mean, that could have been a random scout. That could have been Rafael Stone. That could have been Patrick Fertitta, for all we know. Like, it could be anyone.
Junkie says Van Fleet. It annoys me when people call him Van Fleet. Van Fleet is Devin Williams fat. Yeah, I could see that. So refreshing to see the intelligence of your Twitch. Thank you. Just so you don't know, Marcus Smart game, great move. I don't know what that means. Did Joe just compare Marcus Smart to Mike Burrows? Smart defender, and you can get you and your offensive set on ball dog. Yeah, that's why I like him a lot.
I'm a dog.
He fits exactly what Ime wants. Great defense, no offense.
Ime obviously values defense. Smarts brings. I mean, he's a 33% three-point shooter. That's better than Amen Thompson. Amen Thompson, you ran out there for your starting point guard every game last year.
I didn't say he was. You're right.
This helps your point guard shooting, in fact.
Marginally.
Amen was under 20% last year, or like 22%. That's significant.
Yeah, I don't know.
Obviously values defense. Smart brings that. Smart is a terrible shooter. No thanks. I bet Danny and Clarice won Morant traded to the Rockets. I don't get that reference, do you?
Nope.
I don't usually agree with Branham. I love when people do that. I don't usually agree with Branham, but I do this time. No, I don't. I don't, because it's an insult. I don't usually agree with Branham, but I do this time.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that. It's like, yeah, all right, we have blind squirrel, all the blah, 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 blah. He's better than any point guard we have. You could do so much worse at backup point guard. Good pickup. Marcus Smart is 100% the perfect fit for an Ime Udoka-led team. So much so that you'll let him take a lot of Reed minutes. Ime will not be able to help himself. See, I don't agree there. I don't think Reed's a point guard. So I don't know how he's taking his minutes.
I don't think he takes his minutes. Do you think the Rockets abandoned the Reed point guard thing?
I hope so. He's terrible at point guard. I hope they abandoned the Amen Thompson point guard thing, too. See, that to me is the biggest thing. People are seeing Fred VanVleet's knee and player option. They think he's going to trade it. They see rumors, not even a done deal. They see rumors that Marcus Smart's coming to Houston. They see the draft pick of Thornton at 31, which, if you're counting, I hope he can help you. It's no guarantee that the 31st pick in the draft is going to play significant minutes, not only this year, but ever. And then J.D. Davison's a back-of-the-bench point guard option. So people are looking at all that and being like, oh, they're going to trade Fred VanVleet. No, J.D. Davison doesn't play. You can't count on a rookie to play year one. Smart's very obviously a backup point guard at this stage of his career. If anything, it indicates that A, Fred VanVleet is staying here, and then it also indicates that they're going to give up on the Amen and Reed Sheppard point guard minutes and that they're a point guard, which I agree with. It's not their role. I think Reed Sheppard's an off-the-ball guard, and I think Amen Thompson offensively is a four that defensively can play any position.
Yeah, I think for me, it's like with Thornton, he's going to be running the RGV Vipers. Like, he's not going to even be with the Rockets that much this year, I don't think.
I think it's fair.
Because if
Why
would Davison be here? Like those minutes do eat into Thornton's minutes.
I don't know that they do. I think it's a battle. I think it's a battle for the third point guard.
But like, I just don't want this, like...
I also don't think Thornton's a point guard. People get mad when I say that.
Like, I'd rather him to be developing and playing than sitting on the bench. Like, that was good for Reed when he did it.
Yeah.
Like, it's... If he's just going to sit there and play 4 minutes a game or only play in blowouts, like, which Ime doesn't even go that deep into his bench that often.
Yeah.
Since the Rockets have 25-point leads and blow it, and he's keeping Kevin Durant out there because he knows they're going to choke it out. Like, he's going to be a G League player. Anything he gives you past that is just going to be gravy, but I have no expectations for him to be a contributor for the Rockets this year. This is one where, like, they hear second-round pick, and I'm like, I don't think you need a ball.
Junkie says Ime will want I hate that they signed Ime.
You had it right.
Ime will want to play Fred VanVleet and Smart together, especially late in games. See, that would be problematic, I would agree with. Now, I do think that you can do it at times. I don't mind that pairing out there if you're closing out a defensive game.
Yeah.
And I don't care if they're out there whenever the other two's backcourt are small. But if you're running into a situation where the two guards 6'5", okay, you're going to run into a little bit of trouble with that being your backcourt to close out games. And they better not be on the floor at the same time if you're looking for like a possession where you need to score. So I'm okay doing it depending on the scenario, depending on the situation. But if it's like, this is our auto closeout start five, mm-hmm. and even if it's like, I need a bucket and Smart's going to be out there, then it's problematic. He does have to use him wisely. And, you know, maybe I'm giving him too much credit. Maybe I'm giving him too much a benefit of the doubt.
No, but like,
I don't think Marcus Smart's going to be on the floor when your team's down by two with 20 seconds to play.
No, but like in a world in which you have, you know, you have to, the Spurs have the final shot of a game, rolling out a lineup that's going to be Fred, Marcus Smart, Steven Adams, you know, maybe Tari, if he's still on this roster, which it looks like he's at this point he is.
Yeah, they did the qualifying offer with him or whatever.
We'll see how it plays out. But, like, you can roll out for a last possession defensively where it is going to be a huge improvement from what it was last year.
Mm-hmm. I think he helps his roster.
Yeah, what you're talking about there, my biggest question would be is, let's say Reed's part of the closeout group offensively.
Yeah, he should be.
If he's playing poorly, does Marcus Smart fill that gap?
Would that annoy you if he did?
I wonder if there's another alteration of the lineup that you can do. Like having, you know, a man basically as your shooting guard.
Gross.
And having Jabari, Tari, KD out there.
Should not be used in the same sentence.
No, but it's just like,
The Rockets should have just picked up Milos Yuzan, but they did apostrophe S, so it's like Yuzan belongs to Milos. I agree with Branham only when he takes off his dork glasses and looks at games without Fangraphs or Spotrac influencing his usual bad take. Spotrac is a salary website. Has nothing to do with analytics. Secondly, I only touch into my analytics like 10% of the time. I am mostly old school junkie. So, yeah. Take that for data. Jeez.
You know our stuff breaks all the time. Why are you doing that?
Because Fizdale did that one time. Remember? Yeah. I was doing that Fizdale thing.
Yeah, but do you not see the broken microphones? Like,
there's literally two broken risk microphones reward. Between
risk
you
reward.
And Joe.
The reward there was greater than the risk.
All risk.
No, I don't. I think you need to do the analytics on that. That was not worth the risk.
I believe in analytics.
Our favorite word
comes out of your paycheck.
What paycheck? All right, 713-780-3776.
Our favorite word is back.
Somebody said Antenable today?
Discomfort.
Who's discomforting? Pena?
Pena.
I knew it.
Great. Left leg discomfort. Seeing the team doctors right now.
I wonder if it's his hammy.
We'll see.
Pena's made of glass, bro. I'm a little bit out on Pena.
Out on Pena?
A little bit out on Pena. Can I explain why next?
Yes.
Can we just totally detour our rundown?
Yeah. What?
We were going to tip
the
cap, but now can
rundown.
I? Yeah, that's true. All right, 713-780-3776. Why I'm out on Pena. 713-780-3776. It's Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. From the Huntington Bank Studios, it's Jeremy and Joe.
On ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Yeah, so I'm out on Jeremy Pena.
Trade him at the deadline?
No, Joe. I'm not selling at the deadline. The Astros, unless the Astros go on a terrible losing streak over the next month. The Astros are right in the thick of the race. I'm not trading whenever I have Jose Altuve and Yordan Alvarez and Hunter Brown. I'm not selling. But in the offseason, I'm thinking about selling.
Okay.
Jeremy Pena is out of today's lineup. Chandler Rome tweeting, Jeremy Pena is out of today's lineup after he reported, quote, leg discomfort, Joe Espada said. Pena's seeing team doctors now, Espada said. No quote on that last part. Cal O'Hara saying Jeremy Pena reported, quote, left leg discomfort today and he's being evaluated, Joe Espada said. The reason he's not in the lineup. Those two things are not the same to me because you can be evaluated by your athletic training staff that aren't doctors.
Yeah.
The doctors... So I don't know which one of these is accurate. I would like to listen to what Espada said. The team doctors is more severe. I mean, the team and it could still be nothing, but it is escalated to the point now where you're bringing in the team doctors to be like, hey, can you take a look at this leg?
Yeah.
This is now over me in athletic training, or I want a second opinion from somebody that's more educated on this than I am.
Yeah.
So the team doctor aspect is kind of like, okay, that's a little bit of a red flag. If he's just being evaluated, don't really care. Like, we all get evaluated day to day, especially by the athletic training staff. You go in there, you get a massage, you get taped up. You're getting evaluated daily by the athletic trainers. And they're probably sending a report to the manager, the head coach, every single day. Here's what's going on. Here's a report. You get all that stuff, into Google Docs, blah, 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 blah. You bring in the doctors, usually it's now escalated a little bit. It could still be nothing, but it is now escalated to the team doctor. Like, you get a roll of the ankle. You don't need imaging because you're just convinced it's a roll, roll ankle. Or Cam Smith, he fouled a ball off his foot. It's a little sore, but you don't need to go to the team doctor. The moment the doctor comes in, it is now escalated.
Yep.
Hey, look, I'm around teams. I know this. I stayed at a Holiday Inn Express. I wonder which of these treats is more accurate. Because if the doctors are in play, now it is escalated a bit. It could still mean nothing, but it's now, hey, doctor, could you come in and take a look?
Yeah, and he left the game last week. I don't remember what.
He got a hamstring cramp.
Yeah.
That was his left leg, too, I think.
No, he came back. He played the next
day. Was it his left leg? Yeah, he didn't start, came in late.
Yeah, pinch hit the next day. So, it wasn't the end of the world. And maybe it's just bothering him slightly again. But that, to me, would be more the concern is that, okay, you left early last week. You're okay.
He looked fine, too.
Now you're on the lineup today. Like, how much is this bothering you to where it's maybe not getting better in the way that you had hoped? Something that's just been bothering
But he also said it was just a cramp. Like, cramps don't linger unless it's not a cramp.
True. But, I don't know. This is just feels bad vibes.
Yeah, I want it to be Kawahara's tweet, but I fear it's Rome's tweet.
We'll where doctors see. Are involved now, and they're evaluating to see how bad it is.
Now, they made a roster move today. They brought up Nick Allen, and they sent down Ronel Delgado. So at least at the point of the move, it wasn't like, okay, well, we have to send Pena down. So like, I guess that could be positive, but it could also mean nothing, because if you had to IL Pena, you could bring back Delgado, because Delgado's replacing an injured player, and the restricted days that you have to be gone whenever you get sent down, you don't have to worry about that, because now he's replacing an injured player, and you have free will to do whatever.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of, you know, ambiguity going on right now.
So you want to trade him in the offseason?
Yeah, I do, actually. Yeah, and I actually had this thought earlier today whenever I was looking at his baseball savant.
Is it dropping significantly? Or
No, he's a fine player, but I don't think he's a player that you have to pay $300 million to. I don't think he's a player that you have to extend. And there's a lot of factors here when it comes. I think Pena's a good player. I don't think Jeremy Pena's a great player. I think he's a solid player, good player, would rather have him than not have him. But do I want to pay him $30 million a year? Do I want to pay Pena $30 million a year for the next 7 years?
Probably not.
Do I want to give him a $210 million contract for seven? And I'm not even putting it lightly. Like, how much would Pena get on the open market if he was a free agent this offseason?
Quite a bit.
35, maybe?
I would.
Maybe he's getting $35 million a year. Like, he would get quite a bit. He's a shortstop that's good. He's a top 10 shortstop in baseball. So he would get quite a bit. But I don't want to pay Pena that contract. Like, he's 20. He's already 28, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Is he going to be healthier in his 30s than he has been in his 20s?
No.
He's been in and out of the lineup this year. He was in and out of the lineup last year with, like, muscle stuff. Like, I hate the muscle stuff. And he's hamstring this year.
Mm-hmm.
A little cramp in the he's got big muscles, too. So if you got big muscles, you're more apt to get muscle injuries. Last year, he missed the final few games of the season because he had, like, the oblique issue. So he's had muscular injuries in each of the last two seasons. I'm not really looking to pay a baseball player $35 million a year every year into their 30s whenever they have muscular issues. I don't like paying players in their 30s, period.
Yeah.
So that – I balk at that. Sorry for the pun. I balk at, like, okay, there's muscular things here I don't love. I balk at the idea of paying huge money to baseball players into their 30s anyways. And then also, like, you know, the Astros are kind of known for not locking up their own players. He's not going to be a free agent until he's after his age 29 season. So every year after club control, he's going to be into his 30s.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I would trade Jeremy Pena in the offseason.
Yeah, I mean, you look at some of the highest
paid, Kyle Tucker type of trade.
Like, you look at some of the shortstops and these contracts. The highest paid shortstop right now in baseball for next season is $31 million. Corey Seager. So probably gets below that. But
maybe gets 30.
But Willie Adames got $28 million this offseason.
I think he'd get around 30.
Yeah.
And like, he's probably, I mean, how old is Adames when he signed? He's probably pretty young. I don't know if Adames is as good as Pena.
He hasn't played like it this year, but he's 30 right now.
So he was a free agent going into his age 30 year. So the same as Pena.
Yeah. So, I would say probably $30 million. I mean, like Dansby Swanson, Xander Bogaerts, they're 25, 26. Trevor Story's a $25 million shortstop.
They signed like a few years ago.
Too. Yeah. That was a Correa year. I think they all signed that year. So, like, he's definitely – I would not pay him 30.
Okay.
If you're not going to pay him.
If you're not going to pay him, why aren't you paying Pena?
Yeah.
Is he worth $30 million a year the first 6 years of his 30s? Debatable. Do you trust him to stay healthy, guy who's had muscular injuries in each of the last 2 years, well into his 30s? Probably not. And if you can get a Kyle Tucker type of return for Jeremy Pena this offseason and you know you're not going to pay him, I think you got to trade him. I think you have to trade Jeremy Pena this offseason.
Yeah, you can go into free agency, find a veteran to fill the gap until maybe your prospects are ready.
Yeah, I don't know if you have a shortstop in the system.
Is Nevins?
Yeah, I don't think he's a shortstop.
Okay.
I think he's a third baseman.
That's complicated.
Not really.
He's waiting for Correa to be done?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't mean Nevins isn't going to be up in the next year or two even.
Because when does Correa run out? 28?
I have to go look. That sounds right.
Because there's a bunch of – he can go forever, but the opt-ins are impossible.
Well, they're not – I think they're mutual options where I think they're vesting options. I think he has to – I think he requires like certain at-bats and milestones for him. I don't think it's a club option. I don't think it's a team option. I think they're vesting options or a player option, I meant.
Yeah, it's 2029 vests if he has 575 plate appearances.
Yeah, Pena would get every bit of a Willie Adames contract.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he got 182 for seven. I think Pena would get $30 million a year, right around that ballpark of $30 million a year. So is Jim Crane going to pay Jeremy Pena $30 million a year for 7 years?
No.
whatever he's going to be, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36, 37. Do we think that's going to happen?
No.
We don't think that's going to happen. Should he pay Jeremy Peña that much money into his 30s when he's had muscular injuries the last 2 years? I would argue no. I would argue that he shouldn't do that. Also, shortstops, they kind of lose their range into their 30s. And if you look at Jeremy Peña's defensive metrics, they're actually going backwards. They're going backwards. So, and this, I promise you, this isn't just like reacting to the injury news today. I legitimately thought this morning. I would be looking to trade Jeremy Peña in the offseason. I'd be looking to trade Christian Walker in the offseason. I think this team needs a little bit of a reload in the offseason. I'm not doing anything in the deadline. I'm talking about in the offseason. I would get off Walker's $20 million contract. I'd trade Jeremy Peña for the highest bidder that's out there. Maybe you can find your shortstop there. Like yeah, the Astros found a third baseman in Isak Paredes in the Kyle Tucker trade.
Like, do you go into that offseason with in mind that you're hoping to find your shortstop of the future or just...
No, you'd have to be the future.
Just taking whatever.
Yeah, you find the best you one get. You can.
Yeah.
Best one you can.
Because you need a left fielder. You need a center fielder.
Yeah, it could be any of those guys. Yeah, it could be any of those guys. But I would trade Peña in the offseason. Today's news does not help, but I promise you I was already thinking this.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely, you know, I know we talked a lot about when they were out, well out of the playoffs, about unloading this offseason, not trusting Dana Brown to do it. I'm open to it as long as you get the right return. Like, I want a Cam Smith-level prospect in return.
Yes. I think you could get it, though.
Yeah, I think you can.
Maybe not to the extent of Tucker, because I do think Tucker was a better player at the time that you traded him than Jeremy Peña is. So maybe it's not as big a return, but I think you can get something similar. I think there would be a high demand for an all-star level shortstop.
Yeah, because you might just get the prospect. You might not get the Paredes player and the even like you might get like a Wisniewski, Camp Smith. You might not get Paredes on top of it.
Yeah.
If you trade Peña.
Junkie says, couldn't you just move Correa to short? I personally don't love that idea because I want to keep him at third base, but you could. You could. Like, maybe that doesn't become available and Correa is just your shortstop for a year or two and he's your bridge until you can find a better one. That's in play. I personally want to get him off short because I think he's more prone to injury playing short than third, although he was prone to injury in batting practice.
Yeah. So. He's also said he wants to play third. I mean, I
think he was being a good team guy, though. I don't think Correa would have any issues of being like, yeah, I'll move back to short.
Yeah.
So I think he'd be totally okay with that.
Yeah. I'm with you. I'd rather him be the third baseman.
I'd rather him be the third baseman, but you do have that flexibility. Like, maybe you don't trade Christian Walker. You just keep Christian Walker for a year. And maybe for a year, Correa is just your shortstop.
And then Paredes is at
third. And then you figure it out later, yeah.
Paredes at third, Walker at first.
Yeah.
That could work. But, I mean, I'd rather unload Walker if you could.
Same. Like, ideally, I would trade Peña for a good package, and then I pause, and I would trade Christian Walker to clear the $20 million.
Yeah.
And then figure out the other positions. But you do have some flexibility because you do have an untenable infield, which all of a sudden becomes pretty tenable whenever you talk about flexibility and options. Peña runs like he's running from the cops. Add that with his giant legs. His muscle injuries are likely to continue. He does have a weird gait. Have you ever noticed that? He has an awkward gait.
Yeah, he runs. Like, it's not smooth.
No, he's not Smith.
It's not Hunter Spence.
Spence?
It's not Hunter Pence weird, but yeah. Hunter Pence was one of those players that felt like nothing.
Goal! Hermany scored a goal. 1-1. Key from L.A., maybe he needs to slow down the workouts a little bit. I agree with you about Pence, though. It's a good call. He had a really weird gait. And he also had a really weird swing. Remember that swing?
And a weird throw. So everything he did was
awkward. How was he good at baseball?
I don't know.
Robert and Beaumont, Bregman and Tucker both hitting 239. Don't miss them. Look, that's the thing. Like, it's very likely that
Bregman sucks.
When does a baseball player hit their peak?
Like 28, 29 usually, right?
Late 20s, 27, yeah. 28, 29.
Yeah.
Peña is 27, 28.
It came up late.
Is Jeremy Peña into his 30s going to be a 133 OPS plus guy?
We're looking at the best of his athletic ability right now.
This is when you trade players.
Yeah.
Because he's a late free agent, I think it makes it way easier that you don't re-sign him. I would be trading Jeremy Peña this offseason. The injuries don't help. 713-780-ESPN. Wow. We got Paul singing serenades about Peña to Jeremy screaming, get his behind out of here. I mean, I like Peña. I'm a huge Peña fan, but I prefer team winning over player stuff. I've always been that way. All right, 713-780-3776. Who are you tipping a cap to from this sports week? 713-780-3776. Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5. I tip my cap to Two Creeks Crossing Resort because it's a great weekend getaway. It's a great just weekday getaway, Monday through Friday. Two Creeks is awesome. You can escape the city without going too far. It's only 90 minutes from Houston. You leave at 3, you turn us on, you're there at the halftime of our show. You're there in an hour and a half from downtown Houston. You don't have to drive across the state. You don't have to jump on a plane. And you get paradise 90 minutes from you. So escape the city and enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. Book your stay, twocreekscrossingresort.com. They got 92 acres of property, open green spaces, wildlife you don't see in the city, beautiful, majestic trees. The two creeks make for great fishing. Some of the best fishing in Texas. Drop your line in the water. They also have a catch and release pond in the middle of their property, which is a great way to teach the kiddos how to fish. Also, you can kayak on those two creeks. That's fun. That's cool. Pickleball courts. You can just hang out by the pool with a drink. You go to Swampers, get a drink, have one there too. They also have Blue Bayou Bend, the water park, the Lazy River. It is awesome. You're going to love Blue Bayou Bend. And they believe in Southern hospitality at Two Creeks. They always take care of you, food trucks, live music, weekend activities. They're always trying to make your visit a pleasant one. Glamping, waterfront cabins, tree houses. You have an RV? Pull up the RV. They got stays for everybody. So book that stay right now at twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5. This is Jeremy and Joe
on ESPN 97.5 and the ESPN Houston app.
Live from the Huntington Bank Studios, here's Jeremy Branham and Joe George.
Germany, Paraguay, 1-1, 59th minute.
Ich bin davon klug und unsteinreich.
We're on Germany minus 300. We're also on the over 2.5. So go Germany. Go Germany. All right, who are you tipping a cap to this fantastic sports weekend? Who are you tipping a cap to, Joe?
Lionel Messi, first player ever to score in 7 straight World Cup games.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like, that's crazy.
That's incredible. Who would ever pick Ronaldo ahead of Messi?
Only dumb idiots. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good call. I didn't know that about Messi. 7 straight.
I learned that on Twitter.
That's phenomenal. Mm-hmm. That's really good. George Russell. I'm going to tip my cap to George Russell for winning the Austrian Grand Prix.
Who the f***
you don't
is
know
that
who
guy?
George Russell is?
No, you were expecting
you were
that.
So
I saw your smirk.
I saw you reach.
Is that tennis?
Are you serious? The Austrian Grand Prix?
It's F1.
Do you know what Grand Slam's happening today?
No, man.
You don't know what Grand Slam started
Wimbledon.
Today?
No.
You are so uncultured.
I don't know why I said what
you
it was.
You are uncultured swine.
Because I
said Wimbledon.
I do not care.
You don't care about Wimbledon?
No.
Serena's back.
Cool.
You have no respect for
Joe wouldn't watch Wimbledon if it happened in his backyard.
Fact. I do not care about
you wouldn't
tennis.
Watch Wimbledon if Serena Williams was playing tennis in your backyard? You wouldn't go take a peek?
I guess if it was in my literal backyard, I would.
Man.
I think you close the blinds after a couple
so
minutes.
It's so uncultured, guy. Y'all need to
It'd
enjoy
be really
sport.
Annoying.
How do y'all work in sports and hate sports so much?
I love sports.
We talk F1?
No, you like a few sports.
I love relative sports.
That's not
the
fair.
One that we talk about.
I like baseball.
F1's incredibly popular. Incredibly
not,
popular.
Not in America.
That's also
how much how much talk time does it get on Sports Talk Radio?
Zero.
That's not the same thing.
It kind of is. He doesn't need to watch it.
I'm just so disappointed in you guys. Who are you tipping a cat?
I saw Scheffler choked. I saw that.
I was playing with Brandon Baby yesterday.
Okay.
He's 3. He's pretty
you
good.
Dominate.
He actually beat me best of 5, but I don't like take advantage because he puts his hands like his cards on the bed and stuff.
You don't cheat,
so I don't play I have a rule.
He's got to learn at some point.
You're not cutthroat?
Not yet. No, I have rules where this is the card I would play no matter what. I play the high card of this color, or if I could flip colors, I have to have more of that color.
Sure.
I'm only playing the wilds in opportune times, like stuff like that. So I have rules where it doesn't influence me being able to see his cards. But I was like, hold on, I want to see this, Scotty Scheffler. He goes, I bet Scheffler's a good shuffler. It's like Brandon Brady's got great jokes. He's got my jokes.
He's been listening
he
to
comes
you
by it honestly.
How long do those rules last?
I don't know. Until he knows how to play the game.
Okay.
He actually knows the rules. He just doesn't really know the game theory quite yet. Whenever he starts picking up the game theory, then.
Yeah.
Or he can just hold the cards in his hand without placing them face up.
Yeah, that's probably a good time.
It's still a little bit too early.
Yeah.
But I'll beat him.
Yeah.
But I have the rules that I follow.
That makes sense.
Yeah. Good All right, who are you tipping to get to?
Jacob Mizorowski, the Miz. That Oof. Pitch, sorry, Joe.
Who's
I know
he?
It was against the Cubs.
The Cubs won the series. I don't care.
105.5, though. He was dominant.
You know,
what?
The only thing I didn't like about that is after the game, he tried to claim he slipped. He does not. Someone's audio is going or something.
Yeah.
But he said he slipped and he could have got like 106. Probably, I don't believe
probably
it.
Probably could have.
But he's so nasty.
He's so good.
I think it was like the third most pitches above 100 miles per hour in a game ever. What he did on Friday night. Like, he just throws so much gas. I don't understand how his arm doesn't fall off at this point. Like,
it's coming.
For sure.
It'll happen.
It'll happen at some point.
Pitchers' arms are ticking time bombs.
For the time being, he's the best thing going in baseball.
Oh, it's absurd. Like, he's must watch. Like, he's like, it's...
I'm surprised y'all like baseball.
I love baseball.
It's quickly, surprising to me. It's funny how quickly, like, not that Paul Skeens is a bum, but it's quickly how often guys are replaced by the next thing that catches our attention. Yeah. Paul Skeens was that must-watch guy, and he's still must-watch, but really everyone wants to see the Miz now.
But he's also, like, very clear, like, the third-best pitcher in the National League right now, at best.
Well, he's still pretty good.
No, I know. But, like, Christopher Sanchez, what him and Miz are doing right now is unbelievable.
Yeah, they're good.
It's a totally different level.
Remember when Ubaldo Jimenez was a thing for, like, 8 games of the year? He's like, he and Johan Santana. Mm-hmm. And then, like, Ubaldo just fell off the cliff.
I love Johan Santana.
Yeah, he was awesome.
He kind of fell off a cliff, too.
He was an Astro.
He was. Rule 5 draft?
He's a Rule 5 guy.
Yeah.
Never pitched for the Astros. They lost him in Rule 5 draft.
I didn't know that.
No, that's what you get hanging out with me. The more you know with Jeremy and Joe.
Yeah.
All right, who's your next tip of the cap?
I was watching the replays of the Astros game this weekend.
Okay.
And the Tigers did something really cool that I enjoyed. So, obviously, there was a big tragedy in Venezuela that happened with the earthquake. Jason Benetti handed off the final call of the Tigers' one win in this series to the Spanish announce team.
Oh, really?
And then they aired it on, like, the main television broadcast.
With Ozzie Guillen Carlos Guillen. Carlos Guillen, sorry.
Yeah, I thought that was a very cool thing.
And on top of that, I believe the starting pitcher and the closer that day were also both Venezuelans.
Yes.
That's classic.
So I thought that was a very cool thing to see happen over the weekend to give them the recognition that they deserved during a bad time.
I like Benetti.
He's great.
Benetti's great.
Yeah.
That's good. I didn't realize that happened. That's really cool. Victor Hovland. The victor of the Travelers. He won in a playoff today.
He did.
I'm surprised you know who he is.
Well, I saw Scotty Choke.
I'm surprised Brian didn't play the drop. Victor Hovland.
I know Hovland.
Victor of the Travelers.
I can't pretend.
I give him credit for how stoic he was when Scotty missed the putt.
Yeah.
Like, they pan right to him and, like, it's just, like, stone cold sober, no reaction. That's tough to just sit there.
Yeah, I mean, I'd rather be in his shoes than Scotty's.
For sure, but to not, like, be able to celebrate in that moment. Like, you're just, like, you're watching this guy lose, and, like, it's so good for you, and, like, the right thing in golf is just to stand there and not react.
It's a gentleman's sport.
Yeah.
Brian?
I'll tip of the cap to Canada for becoming the first team to reach round of 16.
It's a good
tip. With their 1-0 victory last night.
It's a good tip of the cap.
Sonny Gray? Didn't get the no-hitter.
Should be an Astro.
Maybe he will be. You never know.
Should be an Astro. I called for it 2 years ago.
Had a no-hitter into the eighth. The Red Sox still almost lost the game.
Yeah.
Yeah, Yankees fans are not happy online.
Gretchen Wilson. She's now the fastest female sprinter in the history of swimming. Less than a week after.
Who the f*** is that guy?
Thank you, Brian.
Less than a week after Kate Douglas set the 50-meter freestyle.
I do not know.
At 23.59, Walsh swam a 23.55. She's not a man. That does happen in swimming, but not the case here. Gretchen Walsh is a female. And she's now the fastest female sprinter in the history of swimming.
Congrats.
That's cool.
Fun fact. Brian, your turn.
I think Jeremy's just seeking out, like, the most random athletic accomplishments.
She set a world record.
Where do you find these things?
Yeah, where did it pop up on your feed? No, legit question. Where did it pop up?
Because, like, I look
Twitter.
I look for help. I, like, that's not
my algorithm's not showing me that. Yeah.
My Twitter knows that I'm cultured when it comes to my sport. Mm.
I'll tip the cap to the White Sox for having a 22-1 victory over KC this weekend.
Jeez, that's a lot of runs.
Yeah, 22-1. That's definitely a game where I didn't look to see how many position players played, but we could call the game. I don't know at what point. 14-1, 15-1, let's call it.
We got to get through that bullpen. You got to tax the pin. Joe?
I tip my cap to the Bills for saying no to OJ.
What happened?
They're not bringing him over to the new stadium.
Well, he's dead.
Well, his wall of honor.
Oh.
You phrased it kind of seemed like OJ requested it.
I would hope they wouldn't invite him.
Yeah, he's not going to be recognized.
I don't like that.
I do.
I don't like that.
He killed two people.
Allegedly. He was actually, he was innocent in the court of law. In criminal court. Civil court, not as innocent.
Yeah.
I don't know. It still tells the history of your organization.
No. I think once you do stuff like that, like, you're more than allowed to take them out.
Is he still in the Hall of Fame?
Yes, but that's different.
Why?
Well,
it's kind of the same thing.
Well, it's run by two different things. One's the Pro Football Hall of Fame, one's the Bills.
Yeah, I feel like it tells your team history, though. Like, it should certainly be, like, a stain, for sure.
Like, people are still going to know he played for you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Like, you're covering
it. It feels like you're running from it.
Exactly. Like, I mean, nobody's going to blame the Bills for doing that. I think we blame OJ.
I've seen some people.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a Taos Hill I'm willing to die on. If I were doing it, though, I would just, I mean, it's already there. It's in their old stadium, but they're bringing over everything else. Like, to me, it's just like, oh, yeah, look at
us. Really? You could argue this is calling more attention to the fact that he was the Buffalo Bill.
I think if they just took their Ring of Honor that's in their current stadium and then placed it in their new one, no one would ever even blink an eye
at this. You're probably right.
And now this does bring more attention. Yeah. Brian's right about that.
That's probably true.
It's a great point. Barbour Hills, Macy Bryant, the girl athlete of the year. Don't play the who, the is he.
I do not know
this
man.
She's a woman. She plays softball. Perfect game in the state title game, Brian. 33-1 record on the year. 0.46 ERA. 342 strikeouts. Opponents hit 0.86 against Macy Bryant, the girl athlete of the year.
Speaking of guys who throw strikes, OG Anunoby with the first pitch. Great. He got it over the plate. Hopefully the UH coach was watching.
You tipping a cap to a first pitch?
I can't. This is a low bar.
I almost did it intentionally because he went with someone who actually accomplished something as a pitcher. So I'm going to tip the cap to OG Anunoby for a great first pitch. He didn't go Malik Willis. He didn't throw it 10 yards to the left. He didn't get stepped on like Yainer Diaz and throw it 10 yards to the right. I'll tip the cap to OG Anunoby for a great first pitch over the weekend.
That's the lowest bar we've ever had on this segment.
It might be.
I'm out.
You're done?
I got no more.
You don't have any first pitches to tip the cap to?
I'm going to tip my cap to the boy athlete of the year, CJ Sampson, state champion for Tomball, number one team in the country, 13-1 record, 1 ERA, 488 hitter, 2-6 home runs. Son of Chris Sampson, former Astro. He is committed to A&M, but he's going to be a draft pick, so we'll see if he signs or not. Any others?
Do you see the catch from Derek Hill of the Phillies over the weekend?
Uh-uh.
I think it was Friday night. He had maybe the best home run rob I've seen of the season, but he looks like he's a good – the glove's a good 3-4 feet above the wall. It was nice. An absolutely crazy catch.
And then my last one, C.E. King head coach Corey Laxon, named the Houston Chronicle High School Coach of the Year. Tip the cap to C.E. King head coach.
There we go.
Corey Laxon.
That catch is nasty, Brian.
Are you done?
Yeah.
There you go. Junkies asking, was that the best first pitch ever?
It was pretty good.
Tip the hat to Victor Hovland as a junkie. Another tip of the cap to the Astros, for not getting rid of any of their surplus infielders from April. Good point. Great point. Yeah, what an untenable answer.
That's a great point.
Thank you, Cal. All right, 713-780-3776. Coming up next with Jeremy and Joe, Quincy Avery is coming to C.J. Stroud's defense. Shocker, huh? 713-780-3776, Jeremy and Joe on ESPN 97.5.
This is ESPN 97.5, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Brought to you by Zadok Jewelers.